morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Good morning. Whether you have been here your whole life or this is your first time with us, we are so glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. I know folks are still coming in, new carpet, it's a great excitement, I know, But one of the ways that you can learn more about how we are church together is in your bulletin. You'll see announcements and a calendar. There are all sorts of worship and mission and fellowship and learning opportunities. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship today. We have a few announcements this morning. Reminder, this is your last chance to sign the cards for our Jamaica travelers. Please also keep us in prayer. We are heading to the airport Saturday morning at 3:45. Woo! That will require some coffee. But please sign the cards that are available. Also, a reminder that this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we will be having service here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock. And one of the opportunities that you have to participate in Lenten spiritual disciplines would be, if you saw in your harbinger, we're doing something a little different this year with a Lent photo of the day. And we would love for folks who have cameras on their cell phones to participate with us. If you need an extra harbinger, they're out in the rack in the hallway. We would love for you to start with us on Ash Wednesday. We give you a word, you take a picture, post it up into the Facebook GPC members page. And we've got another announcement. Al is somewhere. Hi, come on up.
Well, it's a new year, and February is one of the months that we volunteer to serve at St. Joseph's. So coming up on the third weekend, the third Saturday, which is the 20th, we'll be going down with the junior highs to serve a meal at St. Joseph's House of Hospitality. In preparation for that, though, we need some sign-ups for food donations. So the sign-up sheet is out on the kiosk, and lots of opportunities right now. There's nothing taken, so you got your choice of anything you'd like to donate, and we'd appreciate anything that you can. Food prep is going to be done Friday night, the 19th, and there's still a lot of opportunity there, too. So go check out the sign-up sheet and support St. Joseph's. Thanks.
Thank you, Al. Now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Super Bowl. No one else is paying attention either. It's okay. It's really fun today. Please stand if you're able and join me in the call to worship. Let us glorify God on mountaintops.
Praise God.
Let us glorify God in deep valleys.
Praise God.
Let us glorify God in times of hope.
Praise God.
Let us glorify God in times of despair.
Praise God.
In all things, in all times, in all places, let us praise our God.
That opening hymn we sing together, and I'm like, okay, let's go home. We're good. Praising God, indeed. But we also know that praising God is to bring our whole entire selves, the parts that are joyful and full of praise, also the parts that are hurting and broken. Let us come before God with our prayer of confession. Peter, James, and John went up on the side of a mountain with Jesus and experienced glory. But then Peter wanted to stay. It's good for us to be here. Let's get comfortable, he said. God of glory and light, forgive us when we are complacent and comfortable with keeping the riches of your love to ourselves. Keep calling us down from our mountains of privilege. Keep expecting more of us as your disciples. Keep reminding us to listen to your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Whether we hear a voice from the heavens or a still small voice in our hearts, listen carefully for the love of God. Believe and accept God's love and live in God's freedom. We believe. Thanks be to God. At this time, the young children are welcome to come forward. glad to see you all this morning. So there is a game that Lily and Nora know because we play at our house. Sometimes we play it on very, very long car rides. Maybe it's a game that you know too. It's called I Spy with My Little Eye. Have you ever played that game? Yeah? Okay, so let's play it just real quick so that we remember how it goes. All right, I spy with my little eye something green. What do you see? Anything? Does anyone see anything green? No? My water bottle! Good job! And that's to your back. All right, let's try again. I spy with my little eye something red. Yeah, both you guys have red on. In our story this morning from the Bible, the disciples... You have blue eyes. Blue eyes are great. So you can spy with your little blue eyes. I'm not sure what color the eyes were of the disciples, but they spied with their little eyes Jesus. And they were seeing Jesus in a whole new way because he lit up. I kind of like to imagine those are 10. Okay, I imagine Jesus lighting up kind of like a disco ball. Have you ever seen that? You ever seen a disco ball? That's kind of how I imagine Jesus in this story. You'll hear it in Sunday school. So you guys imagine Jesus lighting up like a disco ball, okay? You're 4. Good. So we don't have a chance to go up onto the mountain and see Jesus light up, do we? But what we do is we use our little eyes to spy Jesus all around us. And all those things that we learn about Jesus in the Bible, and then we see here in this world. So here in the sanctuary, it's a little bit easier. So I can spy with my little eye Jesus present in communion. So where would you look? Over there. So when I see communion, it reminds me of Jesus' love. And when I spy with my little eye the cross, I remember the love that Jesus has for us and how much pain he also went through, and that God's love is big enough to conquer even the biggest pains in our heart. So it's a little easier here in worship to spy with our little eye where Jesus' love is. Sometimes it's a little harder in the world. Which is why I am so glad that our church is committed to making sure that God's love and Jesus' love is all through the world. And coming up here pretty soon on Saturday, a group from Gates Presbyterian Church, high school seniors and 3 adults are going to go to not only show God's love, but see God's love. Because when we are in Jamaica, oh my goodness, we see God's love all over the place, in the smiles of the kids, when we worship with the congregations there, and in all the people there. So I was hoping that you all would stay for a minute. Would you stay for a minute, okay, with us, while you get to see and spy with your little eyes the Jamaica mission team as our congregation, and you guys too, help commission us to go out. Do you guys think you can do that? Yeah? I have confidence in you. So I'm going to invite Mary Hadley, who is going to come forward, and she is going to lead the commissioning. And I'm also going to invite all of the participants to this year's Jamaica Mission Team to come forward. You guys stay right here. You're good, okay? Can you stay right here? All right. That way you get front row seats. You want to turn around so you can see? I'll have them all come up. So you guys know Mary.
So I guess I don't have to invite them, huh?
No, I got them. Poor kid.
Well, actually, maybe I'll read so everybody knows who's here, right? So the team this year, this is Nadia Indolovsky, Allison Tuttle, Jennifer Hassenlop, Katie Oman, Jesse Pym.
She couldn't be here this morning.
And Tammy Indolovsky, Beth Molina, and Melissa DeRosia. So good job. You passed your first test of coming forward. All right. So the mission team will leave very early in the morning. So early.
So early.
To travel to Jamaica. They will work with our partners at the United Church of Jamaica in Green Island, Negril, and Santoy. They will be working with the students, teachers, and staff at the basic school. They will be painting the basic school and at the Theodora Project in Negril. Do you accept this work, understanding it as an expression of your love for God and for God's people? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Right. Why is she wearing them on her head? As you do this work, you will also open your hearts to the people of the Green Island and the Negril communities, continuing to build the partnership between Gates Presbyterian and the United Church of Jamaica. If so, will you please say, I will.
I will.
Will you listen to the life stories of the people of Jamaica, and will you share your stories with them so that together you will discover ways in which God's work is working in the world? If so, please say, I will.
I will.
Members of Gates Presbyterian Church, will you pray for these mission travelers as they seek to serve God? If so, please say, I will. And this is a freebie for me. Will you promise to give Barbie and the basic school kids and, you know, Reverend Rita and all of the folks at Santoy a hug for Mary? If so, say, I will.
I will.
Thank you. Let us pray together. O God, who calls us to service, we pray for this Jamaican mission team. Keep them safe in their travels. Focus them on their purpose. Energize them for their work. Help them to experience you in the partnership we have with the United Church of Jamaica. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mary. And thank you, friends. You all can head to Sunday school with some of your teachers who are standing here. So.
Thank you.
The first reading of the word today comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him.
And our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. But since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified, and they entered the cloud. And then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, they had come down from the mountain, and a great crowd met them. Just then, a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you, look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly, a spirit seized him, and all at once, he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless, perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions, but Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. Someone jokingly challenged me after church one Sunday that if I'm going to use big words in a sermon, I better be able to define them. Well, as long as you don't ask me to spell them, we'll be fine. Transfiguration of the Lord's Sunday. It is a mouthful. here on the church calendar, marking the end of Epiphany, leading into the season of Lent. The word in Greek is metaphorthē. It means to cross over, to go beyond, a radical change. So there's your definition. Puts the story in perspective for us, doesn't it? All right, we can all go home now. Okay, not so much. It's a really strange story. Scholarly and theological types for centuries have been trying to explain what it means. That's not a bad thing. But this transfiguration story, is one we really need to see for ourselves. But of course, not even with Marty McFly and Doc Brown as our Back to the Future inspirations has technology been able to catch up to the DeLorean time traveler and transport us back to the mountain with Jesus and his disciples. But that's all right. This was the challenge of the first readers and hearers of the author of Luke's Gospel too. They weren't there to see firsthand the events as they transpired. It was just Peter, James, and John up there on the mountain with Jesus to pray. But they almost missed the whole thing themselves. Heavy with sleep, the gospel writer tells us, and the emotional exhaustion of just immediately before this story, hearing Jesus talk about what he is to face in Jerusalem, about his suffering and death. And this is the conversation Jesus is having, we are told, with Moses and Elijah. Peter and his companions see Jesus engaged in this conversation with these two figures who connect them to the past, to their community, their identity, their faith as the people of God. And then the cloud, the voice from the cloud, and the change they see happening to Jesus. Which is what makes what happens when Jesus and his disciples come down from that mountain all the more significant. In the crowd, the healing of the young boy, that's where we see the work of transfiguration take place. See, because leading up to this whole entire story, from the very beginning of the Gospel of Luke, the author invites readers to see Jesus differently. When we read the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus born in the flesh and the blood, lying in a manger. We see him in the temple, presented by his proud parents and given a name, just like all of the rest of the Jewish boys were. We also see him, a young, rebellious 12-year-old, unbeknownst to his worried parents, off hanging out in Jerusalem, reading in the temple courts. Later, we will see him rejected by the synagogue in his hometown, where he came to preach the good news to the poor, freedom to the prisoner, and release to the oppressed. We, through Luke's gospel, see Jesus as a human being in ways that none of the other gospel writers are willing to portray. I believe that it's in this very humanity, in his humanness, is where Jesus really saw for himself the people around him, especially those who were poor and oppressed, the people that everyone else didn't see. And Jesus saw the poor as the children of God, loved and valued. And it is to the poor that Jesus preaches the good news that God's great reversal is happening, that the good news is for all people. So Luke really wants his readers to see Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, as a human being. It's in Luke that Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man more frequently than any other gospel. And quite possibly, this is how the disciples primarily see Jesus while he is with them. But something happens up on that mountain that completely changes that radical shift the way the disciples see him. They see something more than the human Jesus. Something they know they've seen glimpses of before. Something in their heart they know to be true. Something they've had trouble putting words to. But they know that now they've experienced it in this moment. They want to stay put, experience it longer. And poor Peter, he gets a bad rap in the other Gospels for wanting to build these dwelling places to stay on the mountain. But who of us hasn't had those indescribable and all too infrequent experiences of really seeing the holy and just wanting to hang on to the moment for as long as we can? I believe we felt that moment in that opening hymn this morning. Here in worship, we have such opportunities. As I talked with the children themselves, for many of us, seeing them is such a great joy, and we see Jesus in their energy. We see Jesus in the commitment of the mission teams who go here from GPC and serve out in the world. We see Jesus when the word is read and proclaimed in the sacraments. When we gather together in prayer and we hold those prayers in our hearts. And we do. We want to remain in that experience for as long as we can. Okay, so I won't push it. We want to be here for about an hour because it's Super Bowl and it's, you know, a fidgety. But I do blame the pews for that, not the lack of seeing Jesus, right? Right, I see. That's what I thought. But this is why this second half of the text is so important. Because when we have these opportunities to see the holy, to be together in prayer, it inevitably leads us back out those doors and into the world where, yes, there's suffering, and there's pain, illness, and injustice. Because we have seen Jesus in so many different ways, we are the ones who are also transformed with renewed energy and strength and commitment to partner with God, proclaiming and living the good news for all God's people. The Reverend Heidi Newmark, in her memoir, Breathing Space, A Spiritual Journey in the South Bronx, details just this kind of transformation that she saw in her church, where she served for almost 20 years. The church, appropriately named Transfiguration Lutheran Church, was in a community that was struggling, the Bronx, barely surviving when she arrived. And standing amidst poverty and the myriad of problems that can accompany such a demon, crime and drug abuse, lack of education and opportunity, lack of hope. Transfiguration mostly kept its doors shut tight to the world around it. The work of Jesus rebuking the unclean spirit was example enough for Reverend Newmark. She writes that when Peter and the others came down from the mountain, they found a father and child gasping for life. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, gave him back to his father. And they saw transfiguration. And so it is When the disciples of that Bronx church unlocked the doors of their private shelter and stepped out into the neighborhood, they did meet the distress of the community convulsed and mauled by poverty. But they also discovered Transfiguration as a congregation in connection with one another. And there they saw Jesus. Just like the transfiguration of Jesus loses its power when it does not include that moment when Jesus and the disciples come down from the mountain, the moments we feel that we've caught these glimpses of the holy, they lose their power when we don't take them back out into the world and see Jesus in the suffering and the brokenness. The transfigured Jesus is changed, not in essence, but in the ways he is seen. Reverend Newmark concludes her reflection that when the congregation began to see Jesus differently, they understood. Living up high in the rarefied air isn't the point of transfiguration. It was never meant as a private experience of spirituality removed from the public square. It was a vision to carry us down, a glimpse of unimagined possibilities at ground level. May we see Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
one to whom we turn our lives over has invited us to this table. So whoever you are and however you feel today, for whatever reasons you are here, come to this feast. Whatever your condition, your brokenness, the hurts you bear, know that it is the host, is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has proclaimed. According to the Gospel of Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were open. And they saw him anew. Friends, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. In ancient days, you created us in your image, envisioning us to live in relationship with all creation and with you. We saw a different way. Instead, we went after worthless things and went as far away as we could from you. Even though you brought us back time and time again, we chose to see ourselves at the center of the world. So we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, calling upon you with hope. Holy,
holy, holy, God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory.
Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who pries the way out of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God, and blessed is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our life. Glorified is your Son. Jesus came to reveal your presence in the world. Waking us up, he opens our eyes to your presence all around us. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of the resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died, a witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever. Send your Holy Spirit upon the bread and cup, simple gifts from creation, which grace us with your life, and upon those who gather around your table. Fed with the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. Welcomed without question at your table of grace, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ, glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, with the Holy Spirit in your holy people, on this first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen. Friends, we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, gathered his friends around a similar table on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death, and so they might remember and see how God's bread gives strength. He took common bread and made it holy, just like he takes common people, like each and every one of us, and makes us holy. To remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again. And he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it. so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new, faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for, faith that will surprise you, faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink this, do it in remembrance of me." So we break bread, and we drink the cup, and we give thanks for the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and the promise of new life, faith to hope anew. Friends, this is not a Presbyterian table. This is God's table, and all are welcome to celebrate the sacrament of communion this morning. So if this is your first time worshiping with us, please know the bread will be served on the plates and passed along the pew. We ask you just hold the bread, and we partake together as a community. And we do the same thing with the cup. Just hold on to it, and we'll celebrate together. Friends, this is the feast of God. Let's celebrate together.
Thank you. Friends, it's the body of Christ, broken for each and every one of us. Taste the goodness of God's grace. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What a great gift it is to celebrate in the fruit of God's grace. Let us drink together and be thankful.
Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal. May we in turn open our lives to be bearers of the good news where we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
Amen. As we continue our time of worship together, we also gather the prayers of joy, the prayers of concern that are on our hearts. If you have a prayer that you would like to share aloud, please do a, good wave so the ushers may see you. We'd be happy to share those aloud together. Fancy section over here.
Nancy Hasenlop, Mary Beth McKenzie's mom fell and broke her hip. She was in the hospital. She's now rehabbing at the Episcopal Church home. I got a text from Mary Beth saying she's doing much better, but it'll be a little bit of a recovery for them all because it's hard.
Amen.
Just a little update for Howard and Doris. Howard is with us this morning, and they have some very difficult decisions to make this week. So if you can give a hug, he'll appreciate it.
Prayers for Howard and Doris.
Linda Sidori, I just would like to ask for prayers for Bill Wallace. He's undergoing treatment for chemo, and he wasn't able to have treatment this week because his blood count was a little low. So I just ask for continued prayers for him.
Continued prayers for Bill Wallace.
Hi, I'd like everybody to meet Adam. He's the newest one. So I'd like everybody's prayers that he does a great job and he does his job well. Also, we heard Iowa was released from the guide dog program, but he's going to go into the program they have at Guiding Eyes called Healing Autism. And so he's got a lot of work to unlearn what he's already learned and relearn how to be a companion to an autistic child. And we want him to do a great job at it because he'd be perfect for the job. Thank you.
Great. And did you say his name is Adam?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Adam. Welcome.
Debbie DeCero. Anna Burley asked me to ask for prayers for her friend Larry. He's worshipped with us a few times when he's come from Kentucky. He was recently diagnosed with colon cancer. The plan was to operate yesterday, and so prayers for Larry and Anna, she helps her friend. Thank you.
Prayers for Larry and Anna Burley.
A couple of things. First of all, on the lighter side, I heard that Adam had already baptized our new carpet.
Sweet.
Only kidding. He did not do that. Good news is that my mother is healing and continuing to get better a little bit every day, so we give thanks for that. But I need continued prayers for my brother. My younger brother is still in ICU in a hospital in New Hampshire.
Continued prayers for your brother, Tom.
Allison Tuttle. Back last year, in the spring of last year, my boyfriend's father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And this week we found out that the chemo is no longer doing anything to the tumor itself, and the tumor is pressing on his stomach. So he's in constant discomfort, and they're not doing chemo anymore. So it's basically they're just letting the cancer do what it is and just letting him stay comfortable. So prayers for his father.
Many prayers.
Hi, Tracy Berkovich. Prayers for my uncle who's recovering from prostate surgery. And prayers for continued treatment for that. Thank you very much to the choir. I just love every Sunday. You just never know the different types of music that we're going to hear, so thank you all very much. And also prayers for folks suffering just mental health issues, just with as the winter continues, even though we haven't had snow, the shorter days, and just really hampers a lot of those with mental health, so thank you.
Any prayers for those who are suffering with mental illness?
David Keeling, as many of you probably saw in the news this past week, there was a racial incident at Roberts, my new college. So I just ask that you keep the victims in your prayers and also the community so that we can stay united. Also, my grandparents, they're having a little trouble. My grandpa's been falling recently, so just prayers for them and their mobility concerns. Thank you.
Continued prayers for all the work that we have to do against racism and for the Roberts community and your grandparents, too.
Hi, Kate Stanford. I have a couple prayer requests. Last week I mentioned friends of mine that are battling cancer together. They have stopped chemo on him. He is hospitalized. And at this point, he's been given 2 months to live. She's probably got another year. and both of their teenage children are really struggling with this. So if you could keep them in your prayers. And I also have, I'm a mental health counselor, I have a patient who I saw yesterday who is actively suicidal and has unable to identify any reasons to live. So if you could keep her in your prayers as well.
Most definitely. Thank you. I saw another hand over here.
Bonnie Beckett. We had a guest at our house this past week for 3 days. She auditioned at the Eastman School of Music for her master's degree, and she's back in Tennessee, so she's happy. She's a friend of my daughter, and her mother is a friend of our daughter down in Tennessee.
Prayers of joy for hospitality and for the outcome of her audition, definitely.
Paula Sousa, I'm just happy to announce that Hannah's back with us today.
Welcome
and
back,
then,
Hannah.
I wasn't here for announcements, but there's a 4-pound package of ground meat in the refrigerator. Today's the last day for it to be used, so if there's somebody here that can use it, I'm assuming it's left over from last weekend.
Okay.
From the dinner that they cooked, so if there's somebody that needs it, please take it.
Okay.
Maybe Wednesday.
Yeah, she thinks she may be able to get her brace off on Wednesday.
A lot of prayers of joy and concern, and we add them to the prayers of joy and concern from our children this morning. It sounds like everyone is doing great, so no concerns. Prayers for a first practice of a talent show, a wiggly tooth, and a friend's birthday party. And sounds like both Sunday school classrooms had to be divided given the Super Bowl today. Sounds like we've got division of house, but prayers for everyone's safety in celebrations today. May it be joyful for all. Let us pray. Lord, it seems so long ago we heard your words at Jesus' baptism, and you reminded us again this morning that he is your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased. What a great joy it is to hear those words and to see your Son Jesus all around us. Help us to continue to pay attention in this world where there is so much brokenness and hurt, suffering, violence, war, and injustice. God, help us to keep our eyes open and our attention tuned to where we can show your love, where we can see evidence of your kingdom come. Open our hearts this day, Lord, as we hear the words of Jesus and follow in his footsteps to serve you. For this we ask in his name, who also taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our celebration with the morning offering.
Thank you.
Lord, the skin of our faces has shone with your love and blessings. Embolden us to keep your light from fading. Please take our offerings to help others. Let our talents and missions in Rochester, in Jamaica, and around the world be a reflection of you to all peoples. Amen.
Jesus, and we do so with our eyes wide open, with the grace of God in our hearts, the love of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to be with us now and always. It's our last Alleluia until Easter, so let's enjoy it. Are we ready? Alleluia! Amen.